Hey friends, on this episode of the Danny Morrell Show, we've got a special guest. It's my man, my right-hand camera guy, marketing guy, Mr. Isaac Partida. And I think what's so important about this is that we try to do a good job at bringing you topics that cover the four major spectrums of life. Connecting with your higher self, your business, connecting and making sure that you have balance, and most importantly, your health. And this is a conversation about health, because Isaac is going to let us in on a little bit about his journey and some of the things that he has gone through. I'm going to tell you to hang tight and listen to this episode because it's going to be a great one. So Isaac, you ready?
I'm ready.
And by the way, we're just having a conversation.
Just having a conversation.
We're not planned at all.
Not planned at all.
So get it started for us and tell us specifically, what do we need to know about your journey and how did the journey begin?
Yeah, so I would say the journey kind of began back in June. I realized, you know, I woke up one day and I found like a small like lump on my neck.
Okay.
I didn't really think anything of it. There were some ideas that were popping up. I was looking up some symptoms and things of that nature and nothing really came to mind at first. So I was just like, okay, well, I'll just take a look at it and just keep an eye on it over the weekend. I just kept an eye on it over the weekend, and as soon as Monday came around, I was like, okay, well, maybe I should go to the doctor and see what's up. Yeah. And essentially from there, they kind of didn't really know what it is either. No scans, no nothing. They just prescribed me medicine. They just told me, hey, take this medicine and let's see if it goes down. So took the medicine and actually went down. So I was like, okay, cool. Seems like it's handled.
Right.
And then a couple days later, it came back and I was like, all right, so now... Yeah, so...
Scary.
It was a little scary, yeah. And then, you know, through that, went back to the doctor, let her know what was going on. And then from there, I went to a specialist. From a specialist, I went to an ear, nose, throat specialist who basically told me that I needed to get my tonsils out because my tonsils were affected. So tonsils were out, and then they took a biopsy from the bump on the neck.
Right.
And so, essentially...
And by the way... You guys got to know this. All this was going on, and the kid was still showing up to work.
During the busiest, probably one of the busiest times at work, actually. It was right in between, because it was in June. Relentless. It was in July.
Right.
So everything was kind of happening. It was super busy. But
as a matter of fact, I remember one of the days of Relentless, like you couldn't be there.
Yeah, actually
you had
missed
a doctor appointment.
Yeah, I actually missed one of the appointments.
Right.
And, I had a doctor's appointment, so.
And I bring that up because I know a lot of you that follow us are in the real estate industry. Guys, I love you, but sometimes like... you have like a pinky ache and you don't show up to work. You know what I'm saying? Here's a kid who kept showing up no matter what. So let that challenge you wherever it needs to challenge you. All right.
Yeah. So it was pretty hectic during the time, but nonetheless, you know, I was trying to just stay on top of those doctor's appointments and try to, you know, I mean, working with the doctor's schedule was also very difficult as well. Just everything was, you know, months and months away. So just having the patience to kind of get through everything.
Right. How did you handle that? How did you deal with the emotion, the obvious emotion behind the whole thing?
It was tough because I think early on, the first doctor that I saw, the urgent care down the street, kind of brought up the notion, the idea that this could potentially be cancerous.
Right.
Yeah, so I started dealing with that idea very early on, which was beneficial, I think, because it kind of prepared me to the point where I was actually, I guess, officially diagnosed. You know, emotionally, it was a little hard at first to think that this could be something that is out of my control, that is something that doesn't really, I can't do anything about.
Right.
So, but emotionally, it was tough because, you know, I was just dealing with those thoughts and those fears, I would say. That was the main thing, is just identifying what was going through my mind and why was it going through my mind. Like, what was I afraid of? And, dealing with those emotions really helped me manage and to where I am now emotionally. So it was a journey.
So then you're going through that journey and then you officially get diagnosed with what and when?
Yeah, so after I got my tonsils out and had the biopsy, there was a couple pathologists that actually looked over the biopsy. They couldn't really determine what it was. At first they thought it was a form of mono, and then
I remember that.
Yeah, and then they actually sent it to a UCLA pathologist that basically determined that it was a form of lymphoma.
Okay.
And then through that, I went to the oncologist, which is the cancer doctor, that basically told me that, you know, from the pathology reports, they had diagnosed me with stage 3 lymphoma.
So stage 3 lymphoma.
Yeah.
So what did you feel like when you heard that?
So at first, I didn't know the staging.
Oh, you don't?
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know until just
You're
recently.
So young, that's why.
Yeah, I didn't know until just
recently. Which, by the way, how old are you?
I'm 21.
21 years old.
Yeah, 21 years old.
Which, okay, that's something, that's another story, but yeah.
Yeah, so I didn't know the staging. She just told me, hey, this is what you have, and then this is what we got to do to kind of stage it out and see how severe it is. So I was hit with the news October 29th that I was that had lymphoma. So there was a couple of things that had to get done, like a PET scan, blood work, do some heart testing, just make sure that my heart was actually going to be able to take the treatment. To take the treatment that they were suggesting at the time. And so come to think of it now, looking back, as soon as that was happening, it was just chaos. It felt like as soon as that appointment happened, it was like, you have this, and now we got to do all this. And then it was just a lot of, I feel, emotions, but then also a rush to kind of get things done and get things in order to kind of handle
prepare
the situation. Yeah.
And so let's take a step back here, because you know, I know my mom went through this. So right off the bat, you've got to understand something. You've got to understand that in this country, the way things are set up is, you know, you feel something or you quote unquote think you have cancer, you go to the oncologist.
Yeah.
Now, this is very important for you to understand. By the way, I am not a medical doctor. I am just going to share something with you from my beliefs, okay? The oncologist in this country is supposedly like the go-to resource or the go-to answer for anything cancer-related.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. I quite honestly don't. I don't believe in anything regarding health and regarding anything that this country puts out there. I really don't. That's a whole nother seminar.
Yeah.
But I remember when you were going through this, I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, that I want to
in my head, yeah. You know. Yeah.
I want to touch on that a little bit, because I think what's
look
big
at that,
here.
Yeah.
What's big here is that, you know, Danny, throughout this whole entire process, I was kind of updating him as things were going along, and Danny was like, "Look, you need to go see this person. You need to go see this person." And I think out of love, he was just trying to show me that there's other alternatives, other people to kind of go see. And I would. As soon as I was diagnosed, I was just convinced. I was like, no, I'm just going to trust the doctor. I'm going to trust the statistics.
That doctor.
Yeah.
No, trust that doctor.
I'm going to trust the statistics.
We never had this conversation.
Yeah,
we were, right.
Yeah, so I'm going to trust the statistics. I'm going to, it's just because I felt in that moment that they knew more.
Right.
I felt in that moment that.
I mean, of course, they're doctors.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and I want to say, I'm just speaking of my own experience here. I'm not, you know. I'm not giving any advice or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, from that, Danny, in a very, I think, loving and honest way, he was just showing me these ways, because I think, and the reason why I bring that up is because I think if somebody is going through this that you know, or maybe yourself, you can kind of be closed off to some of these other ideas.
Sure.
Because I think when you hear that word cancer, it immediately kind of strips your power away.
Mm.
That's how I felt.
Yeah.
On October 20th, I felt like I was powerless.
Wow.
I felt very powerless.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I had to do kind of whatever needed to be done.
Right.
To kind of beat this.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And if you can imagine, Isaac, that's the thing, is that that's what most people feel.
Yeah.
And when the only thing they know is, you know, this guy is saying, you know, radiation,
yeah,
or chemotherapy or whatever, then that, I guess that's what I have to do.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I will tell you this. I know friends that is what they should do.
Yeah.
But with you,
yeah,
it was like, nope.
Yeah.
I in my heart, I felt that. I was like, nope. And I would hear you and I'd just be like this.
Yeah.
And I try to stay quiet.
Yeah.
But then I remember one day I was like, dude, can I tell you?
Yeah.
That's the last thing you should do.
Yeah.
Here's what you need to do. You need to go see this person. You need to go see,
yeah,
him. And I would start telling you, I'd say, Isaac, and if you don't mind me sharing,
yeah,
I'd say, Isaac, you're a young man.
Yeah.
This is emotional. This, yeah, has something to do with your emotions. That's where this stuff comes from. And I remember, since you follow me around with the camera, I started speaking about cleaning up your diet and,
yeah,
cleaning up your emotions, because I knew you would have to hear.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah, what
I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like talking to you, but I was like talking to the audience.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What was that like? I'm just curious.
No, I mean, it was it was, I think, very timely, because I think I was put in a position where I was forced to grow. And so I think when, you know, surrounded like people by you and, you know, even the people in the office, you know, I think always growing and just always seeing the positive
versus the negative.
Yes, for sure. That I didn't have any option.
It makes a world of difference.
Yeah, it makes a world of difference.
Can I ask you something? Because this question just came to me. Especially when your family background only sees the negative.
Yeah.
Do you feel that there was a little?
Yeah.
Because we as human beings, like, you know, we can't choose our family.
Yeah.
We can't choose the people that we're brought up with. They're the ones that we come into this planet with.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, sometimes those are the exact people that have the most negative, the most abundance blocking thoughts that you can imagine. And then what's worse is this: we as human beings don't allow ourselves to create our own value system based off our own experience.
Exactly.
We trust other people's experiences and we make them our own. And I'm sorry, my friends, that's no way to live. You're way more powerful than that.
Yeah.
So I think what being around positive people showed you is not only could there be another way, but there's another way to think, there's another way to believe, and there's another way to act.
Yeah.
So what action step did you take?
Yeah, so immediately, like from my, well, I wouldn't say immediately, it was a process from, you know, that first initial appointment to where I'm at now, where I just had to just kind of take everything in and just really see that there's not just this kind of, like you said, this tunnel vision of what everyone's experiencing. I think everyone's different, like you said.
Sure.
Everyone's body and everyone's
situation
is completely different. And so I had to realize that something that may have worked for somebody else is not going to work for me. And so I had to really just learn like what my body was saying and like how my body was reacting to certain things, certain foods. And then with the help of some of the doctors that you recommended to me, have just gotten really clear on, you know, what the action steps are.
You need to take.
Yeah, that I need to take.
So I want to take a little step back.
Yeah.
Because I remember something else happened. At the same time you were going through this, you were also going through this, I'm going to be a bodybuilder phase.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I was.
Right? And you literally would come into the office and you'd bring your food.
Mm-hmm.
You're a very disciplined guy, which I love about you. But you'd bring your food, and it's like, in my head, I was like, dude, that's dead food.
Yeah, yeah.
That's dead food, die.
Yeah.
It's very fucking simple, people. Like, live food, live, right?
Yeah.
And so I remember I started telling you about what I was going through and eating vegan and eating vegetarian and eating fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
How was that like for you?
Yeah, so like you said, I was in this phase of getting healthier, or what I thought was getting healthier.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, you know, I just needed to be big. I needed to get bigger, get stronger.
Right. That's the last thing.
And yeah.
It's more toxicity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For me, that's the last thing now.
It's
the absolute last thing. And I think for someone as young as me, it's hard because, you know, I see a lot of people working. Even my little brother, I mean, he's...
Stop right there.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is how the ego works.
Yeah.
I remember you showed me, look.
Yeah.
Look at my little brother. Look how buff he is.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see, guys, that's what happens when we start comparing ourselves to others. It's like the exact path you shouldn't be taking
mm-hmm.
at this critical time of your life is the exact path you were taking.
Exactly.
Because your ego said, I got to get stronger. Mm-hmm. Where does that come from? Where does the notion of that come from? All of that is external, my friends. Your heart knows what you really need.
Yeah.
And that's vitality, energy, and longevity.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and I had to take that step back, like you said, I remember him telling me like this is not saying like you shouldn't be doing this, but he was suggesting that hey look, like I just feel like you need to kind of take care of, you know, what needs to be taken care of and not
forget about bodybuilding.
Yeah, forget about
muscles. Forget about
So I just had to come to the reality that wasn't the main priority. The main priority was just getting healthy, feeling healthier, and getting.
Living.
Yeah, living.
For
exactly.
Right.
Yeah, so, and I noticed my energy, my vitality, everything has just been skyrocketing.
I see it in you.
Yeah, yeah.
But hold on. But then you went and you, the doctor in Orange County, which I recommended to you, right?
So, yeah, I went to, after the initial appointment and a couple follow-ups with the oncologist, I just finally decided, and after looking at a few things that I saw them doing, saw them react, just the way that they were communicating with me just didn't feel comfortable.
Say that. How did they make you feel? The oncologist people.
Yeah. So a little bit more in depth about that is, you know, as soon as I came into the office, it was, you have this and this is how we're going to fix it. I wasn't really.
Doesn't that sound like a herd of cattle? Like, I just envisioned a herd of cattle. Like, here's your, like, just move along.
Yeah.
Here's the drug.
Yes.
Stick it in.
Yeah. So there was no sense of really education that was going on for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know what lymphoma was. Mm-hmm. You know, hadn't been exposed to the word maybe months prior. Didn't really want to Google search, or I was trusting that maybe down the line in the process, if it did happen, that there would mm-hmm. be someone that was going to educate me on what that was.
Right.
So there was no form of education. There was no form of, you know, this is why this is may have happened, or there was no really digging deep about what, you know, my past health experiences or my past, you know, diets or anything like that. They weren't doing anything.
They weren't asking about any of that.
So it's just,
you got this. This is
what you got to do. This is the only option. So, like I said, again, I felt powerless. Yeah.
And then you met with Dr. Antonacci.
Antonacci.
And what happened?
So I met with him and, immediately we just started talking about, how some of the things in the cancer industry, it's sad to say it, but I mean, it's an industry. You know, the way they treat patients, the way that things kind of happen and go on. And I won't get too to depth about that, but, you know, I kind of was briefed in the appointment, and I just felt like everything was saying was exactly what I was experiencing.
What were you feeling?
Yeah, and I was experiencing, yeah.
That's called knowing what's true.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you guys, as human beings, you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, because I didn't do that. I didn't do that for a long time in my life, about everything, about relationships, about my existence, about my diet, about food. You gotta realize something, people. We've all been programmed to think and believe a certain thing. But the only thing that is true is what you know is true. And that's what you're saying. It's like truth happened, and I felt it.
Yeah.
Right? And what did that feel like?
It felt very empowering.
Yeah.
Yeah, walking out of there, I felt empowered. I felt like this was the right thing.
Mm.
I felt that there was someone that actually cared about me.
Yeah.
There's someone that actually kind of dug deep into what I was experiencing in life and before this had happened, and kind of said, you know, this is what could have attributed to where you're at now, and this is how we kind of get it untied and unstuck. And
he told you some magic words.
Yeah.
He said, you're not.
Oh yeah. He said, you're not a cancer patient.
No.
Yeah. He said, get the cancer word out of your head. Just get it out of your head.
I refused, as your friend.
Yeah.
Since day one, I've been like, nope.
Yeah.
I just refuse to accept. It's done. It's handled already. It's a done deal.
Yeah, so that was huge, you know, just feeling that reassurance that, you know, with his experience of, you know, working with many cancer patients,
mm-hmm.
just to hear those, like, reassuring words was definitely a good thing. And then, you know, giving me the proper diets and things that of that nature to follow, I just feel like I could do whatever I want now.
That's it.
Yeah, I just feel,
You look different. You feel different. We'll end it with this. What was the proper diet? I mean, if you don't mind me asking, what did he say to do or not do or whatever?
So the best way I like to put it is I'm kind of like on the God diet. This is what I say.
Okay.
Because and instead of just listing a bunch of things.
Right.
Basically, I'm just eating food as close as it is to its natural state. Simple as that. No.
Artificial anything.
No breads, like the bread that is out there in the markets right now are just like, she was just mentioning how modified they are. And so like just anything in its most purest form.
So like a cashew.
Yeah. Anything
a
that's
blueberry.
Most, anything in its most purest
versus
form.
Versus a protein bar.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Those are.
Or a supplement.
Oh, supplements are.
We don't need that.
No, right? No whey protein. Yeah. No, nothing. Yeah. Nothing like that. So just that's the diet essentially to make it simple.
Awesome, man. And how do you feel?
Amazing. Yeah. I feel like I'm in touch with not only myself, but really with my spiritual side as well.
Absolutely.
Just being able to really experience health in all areas.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah.
Yeah. Final piece of advice, if you could sum it up for anybody going through anything similar, and then if you don't mind, tell them how to contact you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for anybody going through anything similar, I would say just listen to your heart. Listen to what you feel like your body is telling you. And then on top of that, I think what's most important is being able to express the things that you're feeling. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, going through those times of uncertainty and feeling powerless, I feel like I wish I would have spoke up a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
To just get different ideas from different people, to not necessarily influence me, but just see if maybe they're feeling the same way.
Right.
And then I would say, if you know anybody going through this, I would say don't pressure them. Don't pressure them at all. Like for me, like Danny put, I think not pressure, but just was letting me know of these different things. And it just kind of happened through time that I was eventually opened up to them.
Right.
So I always tell people that, you know, are going through this or know somebody, just take it easy. Don't put a pressure on the possibility of doing something or not doing something. Just because I know in these situations it can be kind of, you almost feel like you don't have time. You got to get it handled. But yeah, just don't pressure anybody, and just be open to the fact that there's other alternatives and other ways of handling things. Yeah,
absolutely. If they want to get a hold of you, ask you any questions, how do they do that?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at ISXAC, at ISXAC. And then, yeah, I guess email me at isaac@dannymorell.com. I can answer any emails. Yeah, that's it.
Awesome. Guys, that's a wrap. I'm glad we were able to have this conversation. It's a conversation that I think many people avoid having.
Yeah.
And as a reminder, every case is different. See your doctor. I would just say, they're all alternative ways. And you know what? That word alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Scratch that word. That's a make-believe word.
Yeah.
There are better ways. There are ways to go about you beating and getting healthier that are, quite frankly, not necessarily the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have found is that every time I do the norm, I feel worse. And every time I do outside the norm, I feel way, mm-hmm. way better. And that's in every area of life. I'll leave you with that. Take care. And you'll be seeing both of us at Relentless this year.
Take care.
Bye.